quickly today that our numbers pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy they're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily outrun. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While he warned of the dangers that lie in their path, and they heed not his mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and gravy will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and gravy will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains to high, the valleys to wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all the day long. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. But Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my
knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's why I made Jesus my all in all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains to high, the valleys to wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's when I'll make Jesus my all in all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more today. There are decisions I can't make on my own, and there are trials I can't face all alone. But you said you'd walk with me down last traveled road. And you said, come on to me, I'll bear your heavy load. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Let me remember, I need you more today. When I wake up in the morning and I fear to face the day, let me hear your gentle hand leading the way. Yesterday has come and gone with those trials far behind. And I'll ever learning, Lord, and every day I find I need you more today than I did yesterday. Mountains are higher, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more today. When I wake up in the morning and I fear to face the day, let me hear your gentle hand leading the way. Yesterday has come and gone with those trials far behind. And I'm ever learning more, and every day I find I need you more today than I did yesterday.
yesterday. Heaven's on fire, rivers are wider. I need you more today than I did yesterday. Help me remember, I need you more today. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy, heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lily, then you will know. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin. And there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't plaint or sow. But they're fed by the master, who watches them grow. While we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy, heart full of love, He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lily, then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars till the sun went to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, and he's not too busy to love me and you. While we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love, He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, then you will know. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied, for there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied, for there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied.
It takes a lifetime to realize you can't do nothing on your own. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Your word is a lamp to walk by and a light to illuminate my path. Thy word is meine Füße leichte und dein Licht auf meinen Wege und dein Licht auf meinen Wege. People would only learn that, you know, that, you know, we read about these movements. We're reading about that Julius Kubasek back in the day when he had a goose farm down in Ontario. And when I went down, I drove down there with that Jake from Parkview, well, it's dry leaf, So we stopped in there overnight, and then the other day I was curious what became of them, and I went up. You can get everything on the internet now. Everything is in, it's all out there. And I went through their history, and man, what these people went through to try to find a place, you know. They tried this, and then they went up to B.C., and then they found a group up there, and they got involved with the Hutterites and with these Gary Light or this other group up there, and then they decided to go on their own, and they did that and the other, and then, oh man, what a nightmare, and eventually ended up going over to Israel, thinking they got to be there in Israel when the Lord Jesus comes back, so they can rule and reign with him. And it's pathetic what people have to go through simply because they don't allow themselves to be done what it says here, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. They wanted this community living. It's community living is a pile of garbage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work in the economy of God, because when you go back in the biblical, the way God set it up back to the Israelites, he wanted each family to have their little homestead and raise their children, and then once they get up to a certain age, then the man does exactly what the scripture says. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his to each other, and then they start their program, and then their kids do the same thing, and that's the way God has it designed. But see, people, they want to go into this community they live in, and they never leave father and mother. They're always there, hanging on to each other. It's not the principle that God has instilled, because when you go, like I say, you go back to Israel, how God set it up through the Israelites. He wanted each one to have the little expertise and do whatever, you know, and then they raise their children in a godly manner, and then they branch out, and then they branch out, and then they branch out. But here what they do, they go together in this community tight living, and then completely it's not compatible with the mm-hmm. word of God. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, they try their level best, and it looks good for a bit, and then eventually it collapses, it implodes in itself. Just like mm-hmm. the Hutterites, it's held together by traditions and by rules and regulations. It's not held together by the Spirit of the Living God. And see, it's kind of this very stressful for the women and for the children. They have to live in this commune type setting, and they don't even know why. They're just because their husband or whatever tell them that that's the way to live, but it's not compatible to the word of God. And I mm-hmm. like when you read the Bible, like you and I, we've read the Bible all our life, and somehow if you keep reading the Bible, the word of God saturates yourself that you want to live by the word of God, and that's what you and I are doing. And at the end of the day, this here thing that we're into, at least you'll have a benefit. That'll be, we have an eternal reward, because mm-hmm. it'll never fail you if you use the Word of God as a guide. And see, that's what we're doing. This here program that we're on, it's not our program. We just happen to run out of gas along the road alive, and we finally surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked the Lord to do with us as he sees fit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this thing is too big for us to run. Like, imagine having this responsibility that the Lord gave us to put out this truth, and we're trying to do it on our own. We can't do it. We just got to depend on the Lord on a day-to-day basis to direct us, to guide us with that of his eyes, and to lead and guide us to something that'll stand throughout eternity. And then the only place you find it, something that'll last throughout you have to go back and watch the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he didn't do nothing without his Heavenly Father. He got himself to place where he was completely controlled by his Heavenly Father. You can go back and listen and watch and walk through the saints of time. How he went down to the Jordan to get baptized, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then he went into his ministry. And at the end of the day, he was always led by his Heavenly Father. He mm-hmm. said, "I do nothing without my Father. I see it, and then he tells me what to do, like going to the woman at the well." He kept saying, "I must needs go to Samaria," because his Heavenly Father was leading him up to Samaria, because he didn't know what he was going to do up there. All he knew, he needs to go to Samaria, and as on the way up, the Lord began to reveal to him what he's going to run into. He was completely submissive to his Heavenly Father. And you and I have found that out, that we can't do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's what matters at the end of the day that your life will count. It's all we care about. We don't care what people persecute us or they terminate us and all that stuff. That's immaterial. That's just part of the program. But see, what we're trying to do, we want to go through this life. We only have one life to live. So why not make it count? Why not let the Lord Jesus Christ direct your life so that at the end of the day, you'll be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what you and I are trying to do, our level best. And it doesn't matter what people think about you or say about you, as long as your standing is right with the Lord. And that's all we care about. In the meantime, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to get hated. You're going to get shunned. You're going to get, they'll try everything to get you that they can, but in the meantime, you're about the Father's business. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter. That's all we care about. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We never want to stop to be grateful, Lord. When you think about all the movements all around the world, while people exhaust themselves, and it's all in vain, Lord, because they have not surrendered to you at your will. They're not even born again, and so they're trying to manufacture something on their own, Lord. And we just give you thanks, continue to give you thanks, Lord, that you've allowed us to see that thing out there does not work, that community tight living and all that stuff, Lord. We just pray to continue to lead and guide us with your Spirit, and we just pray you'll open the hearts of the people, because the God of this world has blinded their mind and their hearts that they just can't seem to perceive what we've been trying to say here for the last 30 years, Lord. We try to warn people about the coming doom and gloom, and they just seem to just keep kicking the can down the road, thinks it won't happen. But according to Scripture, according to history, things do happen, and you're giving people an opportunity to repent and turn to the Lord and give their lives over to you, Lord, because it says we must be born again. Lord, we pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot when you go back into history. Like we're living now here in these closing days of time, and you and I, we know just up the road here that's that the Lord, there's a great judgment day coming, the judgment of all judgment. And when you go back, we learn a lot from the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack. They took us back into history. And you go back into history, even without them, when you go through the Bible, you can see how God bent over backwards to try to help mankind. He told Israel, if you walk in my ways, all these blessings, you'll have all these blessings. You can go read it in Deuteronomy. And all throughout the Bible, you can see that God gives mankind, the human race, an opportunity to do exactly what he said back in the feast, to live righteous and holy before him in love. And that's what people need to do. It falls on deaf ears. That's all we've been trying to tell people here in the last 30 years and more. And it's all about that. The foundation is that water baptism in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
We keep repeating it, but that, and we also tell people that era is over. That mm-hmm. part of when God set up that stream, that stream keeps flowing, and there was a time when you had to get circumcised and do all these sacrifices back prior to the crucifixion. You know, but that circumcision and that era, that season is over. As Jesus said, it's finished in Calvary. That season was over. Now we're bringing in something new. The birth of the church happened, and the foundation of it was Peter there at Pentecost. When he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And that's what happened in that early church. They had that whole Middle East Christianized simply because they followed the Scripture. They did what the Bible says. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And that's how they traveled until Satan came in with the Antichrist, and they started perverting it again. Eventually, all it became was a synagogue of Satan, that Nicolaitan spirit where the hierarchy controls the laity. The Holy Spirit had no more room to navigate because they brought them that hierarchy, that priesthood and all that garbage. and that thereby it stifled the spirit of the living God. That's why we go back in history and we see exactly what's happened. And we were watching the movie yesterday about what these people had to go through, the Jews, the Israelites had to go through, and the Holocaust. And there again, back in the 1900s, if it wasn't for the history that we go and read, we couldn't tell people what we're doing, what we're saying. Mm-hmm. We couldn't tell them what's going on around us. But see, we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, and then when the Lord brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham, we saturate ourselves with what these two great men had to teach, because it's really that angel. We're trying to tell it over and over again. It wasn't Brother Branham. It wasn't Brother Jackson. It was that angel that found a vessel that he could use, the vocal cords of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And then they brought out this truth here in his end time, because it says in the days of the voice, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And that's exactly what it was. It was Brother Branham. It was that angel speaking through the vocal cords of Brother Branham. And then when he died, it spoke through the vocal cords of Brother Jackson. And it's a foolproof system, because back before Jesus went to the crucifixion, he said, this is going to be eternal life. All these people, they go around there looking for this movement or this movement, and they try to manufacture something, but the Bible is true to form. It said, Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them whom I will send. And we said it over and over again, but it has to be repeated, because Peter said, I know you heard these things. I know I said it to you before, but you got to say it until it becomes established in your heart. See, this thing here, what we're talking about, that thing is established in our heart. We're not going to just listen one day and then maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then we see something that doesn't fit the narrative, and then we chill out. No, we're steady Eddies. We were driving truck for 7 years, you and I were, and we're in it for the long haul. We had to persevere until the Lord told us, now it's time to sell the truck, because we're going to have to do some other work. I got another job for you. That's exactly how my life has been. I stayed in that calling forever. I stayed until the Lord moved me out of there. And then a guy, he told me, let me know I need to get yourself a highway tractor and go truck it. That's what we did. And that came to an end. And now here we're doing these daily breads on a daily basis. And we're going to do them. We're going to be steady Eddies, because we're in it for the long haul. And until the Lord has something else for us. That's just the way we operate. And in all, we learn a lot. We learn through history. And we learn, like I said, we watched that movie yesterday about what the Israelites had to go through. The Jewish people had to go through in the 1900s, and see, we didn't know about Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and then you got into these feasts, and you even wrote a book on it, and you saturated yourself with these feasts, and then here we find out in the 1900s that Feast of the Trumpets came about, and it was all about trying to tell the Jewish people, because God is turning the tide of events, now it's time to go back to the homeland and build up the homeland to get it ready for the coming of the Lord, and to get ready to build that temple that they're going to be building up here. But see, they refused it. They refused those Zionists. They refused those people that went out all over the world and told the Jewish people, it's time to go back to the homeland. And there's some that heard, there's some that obeyed, and they went back to the homeland. They just started buying up land and building up the land for the coming of the Lord. That was their passion, that was their desire. And then when that Second World War came, there was not one person touched from those people that obeyed the fishers. Like he said, he's going to send out the fishers, and then once the fishers are done with their job, then he's going to send in the hunters. And that's exactly what happened. He sent out the fishers. That happened at the turn of the century in the 1900s. When I forget the name of the person that God used to spearhead that, but it was part of that Zionist movement. Now it's time to go. Yeah, that Herschel, yeah. I remember reading it. And see, that's what happened. And see, we know all that. We see history. And then the last few days I went studying about these movements, about this Julius Kubasek. I know I stayed at his house there back in the early 70s. And I know all about these movements, and for somehow, sometimes the Lord lays it on your heart to go back and investigate what became of them. Well, it just petered out to nothing. Now they're over in Israel, they're with these kibbutzes waiting for Jesus to come. Mm-hmm. See, they go down a rabbit hole after rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And they don't even know that. They try to put all their energy in to build this thing up. But see, we're staying with the Word. We just know exactly what happened at the turn of the century back in the 1900s. And then when you watch these movies, you can tell what the horror they had to go through. Their children are shot right in front of them. And somehow, some of them, they made it through that Holocaust. They call it the Holocaust survivors. But the horror and the nightmare that these people had to go through simply because they did not accept the Zionists back in the day. Time, it gets to go back to the homeland. Oh, mm-hmm. We're not going back. It's a swamp. We're going to stay right here in Europe. They had all their businesses. They had all their mansions and were living in their castle. And overnight, Hitler came in and he just took everything away from them. And 6 million of them got burned there in that, on those ovens there. Simply because they rejected the Word of God when the Word of God came and told them what they need to do in the 1900s. And mm-hmm. like I say, there's a lot of movies out about the Holocaust and the whole world. There's still got some museums there about these ovens and things like that. And see, when you can't tell them that when they go through their thing, the reason this happened is because you rejected the fishes back in the day. Because the Bible says mm-hmm. you send in the fishes, and then when they don't obey the fishes, you'll send in the hunters, and they're going to get the job done one way or another. And that's exactly what happened throughout the Second World War. He sent in these fishes, and then they refused to come, and then they sent in these hunters. These hunters, they were Hitler. It mm-hmm. wasn't, Hitler wasn't, he just did what God told him to do at that Second World War. And it's hard to fathom, but God is in control of everything. He runs the show, and like it says, Jeremiah prophesied it, that he's going to send the fishes, and the fishes were the Zionists. The fishes were that Zionist movement, that Herschel, how they went for, I think, maybe almost 30 years. They went around the world to collect the Jews, tell them, let's go back home, and they refused them. Well, some of them went back, quite a few went back. When they heard that call to go back home, and like I said, they were not touched when all that horror came in here. And here what we're trying to, we're bringing it into today's focus. We're doing the same thing that Herschel did. We're telling people there is an escape route mm-hmm. from this hell that's come, the judgment day of the Lord. Behold, that Holocaust of all Holocaust is coming here, and just up the road here, that great tribulation, and then it's the day of the Lord, and it's a horror upon horror. That was just a toothache what, compared to what's coming up the road here. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to warn people. Well, they list for a while, and then it does, like I say, they just can't seem to believe what we're trying to say here, because it says in the end of the day, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, you think you'll find faith on earth? That's the problem. People don't believe us. They kick the can down the road. Well, if it'll happen, then we'll worry about it when it does happen. No, you got to put something, you got to do something now while you're en route, you know? And mm-hmm. it's just that simple. We're just trying to warn people so they don't have to go through that hell that's coming up the road. There's a tribulation coming. And like I said, then there's the day of the Lord, and it's all going to be over, but it's all going to be all over but the crying, and then it's a point of no return. It's not going to be like it was in Second World War, where you still had time, and once after the war was over, you could still start your life all over again. But this year's the ending of all things. This year, the only thing that's left here is you go to hell and death. And those that were faithful and true, they're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and those that will not accept this invitation. You can read it. I'm not making this thing up. You can go read it in Matthew 22. What happens to these people that rejected the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we've been beating the drums here for 30 years, but do you get any response? No, there's nobody that we can actually go talk to about things that has eternal value. Even your own family, they just kick you out, and they don't want to hear what we have to say, and we just keep beating the drums together, because we're in it for the long, because we persevere. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on going until the Lord gives us a different assignment. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. And like when you follow the voice of God, like when you will look back at the Zionist movement with Theodore Herzl, that was a movement in the seventh church age, as in the Laodicea church age, God is going to start with the working with the Jewish people. And you can see that he had a Zionist movement to call out the people, the Jewish people, back to their homeland. It was now time. Like before that, it wasn't the time yet. But when you will look back in history, how the events shape, how everything shaped history, when you will look at in 1917, how it started to go into motion, and then in 1948 it became a country, a nation again of Israel. And see, those are the stepping stones, how the of progress, how it advanced slowly ahead on what God is doing for the Jewish people. And in the week of Daniel, it's he's going to restore these things back to the nation of Israel, their land, and what is rightfully theirs. The same way here with the Gentiles, like the Julius guy, Hubakov, he was a Nazarene. Mm-hmm. He came from Hungary, and he was a Nazarene. The Nazarenes, Brother William Seymour, when you will look back in the history of Azusa Street, he was a Nazarene. But you see, the Nazarene, that was before the turn of the century, when the Pentecostal movement had not yet been. So he was out there in a wild goose chase, hunting for something with tradition and religion, and he never found it. And he ended up making a commune, and see, that's not where God was at. Mm-hmm. God was at down in Azusa Street,
mm-hmm.
at the Pentecostal movement there with Brother William Seymour and Brother Charles Parham. These were the men that spearheaded the Pentecostal movement, and that was for the Gentile age, like that was for the Jewish people when they were called back, the Zionist movement in the 1900s. And that happened in the 1900s, Azusa Street, the Pentecostal movement, mm-hmm. how God was sending a revival. See, these people were repenting of their sins, and they received the gift of the Spirit. See, that's how that Pentecostal movement worked. And people don't realize, when you will look what God was doing, he was going to restore the real baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But first he brought in the Pentecost movement, the speaking in tongues and all that, and there were so many miracles that happened. There was this this guy that came from, that was on a ship in Los Angeles, and he was from India, and a young child, and she started speaking in tongues in the Hindu language, and she had never spoken Hindu in her life. And he was converted to Christianity. And he wanted to do was go back to tell people about Jesus back mm-hmm. to India. Those were the how God works. Like worked on the this little family there and converted them to Christianity, and then they went back to India to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, usually people of their own. That God sends back and tell them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful story, movement, what God was doing in the Pentecostal hour, and then going into, then slowly God started to restore water baptism in Jesus' name. And that's what Brother Branham did in 1933. He was baptizing at the Ohio River. And the Lord spoke to him, just as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so will you and your message forerun my second coming, the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. And that was the ministry of Brother Branham. And these people that have these movements, they never found it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wonder why they never found it. Like, I was thinking about you, like how God led your journey when he give you that vision of that church down in BC, and then you drove into that driveway and you saw that church building there. And when these people presented to you the prophet of the water baptism in Jesus' name and all that, your first thought was, this is a cult. But what you said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray about it and see if this is from God. And then God showed you, this is my prophet. If mm-hmm. you accept him, you're going to be blessed. If you don't, it's still going to be my prophet. See, it had to be your decision if you're going to believe God that mm-hmm. this is God's prophet and God can bless you. And your life moved ahead from then. Like you always said, you had to flush out all those preconceived ideas, these ideologies. Like, people don't want to get rid of their ideologies. Like, they don't want to get rid of, these traditions, these religions, these
commune living.
These commune living. And this is the holiness that I can present to get to God. No, it is finding the righteousness for your day and hour. And that's the pathway that will lead you to that heavenly city one day. It's not going to be out in no man's land thinking that you can serve God by opening up a commune or doing this and that. It is finding the channel, that the righteousness for your day and hour that God has worked through. Like with the Jewish people, you can go back to the 1900s and see how God was slowly starting to deal with the Jewish people, with Israel, to establish that nation again and that promise that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you can see what God was doing with the Gentiles. That revival was hit in the 1900s. That's why we always say the revival era is over for the mm-hmm. Gentiles. They had a revival. So if you don't know the program of God, then you will be preaching a revival when there is no revival coming. You will be going out seeding your fields, your crop in the fall when it's not time for seeding anymore. It's time for harvest. See, that's how backwards everybody is in this day and age, because they have failed to find what God is doing in the hour of time we're living in.
That's the first thing I did when I had such a passion to go back and tell the Hutterites. I even imagined that they're going to accept this truth here, to the point where I even went back and asked for permission to join up with them again, because I thought I'd be able to get this truth in there. And here I had a meeting with all the with the hierarchy, and I told them about God sending a prophet. I told them about the water baptism in Jesus' name, and they more or less told me to get out of here, and at the end of the day, you got till sundown to get out of here. They closed themselves completely off from the truth for the day and hour mm-hmm. that they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to go suffer the consequence. That Mike, that's from Sommerfeld here, I told you time and time again, he was the ringleader of all that, and he told me our forefathers didn't teach us that, and you're not going to come in here teach us your junk. You might as well just pack up and get out of here. And then, see, they closed the book mm-hmm. on that whole Hutterite nation. To this right. day, they're blinded. Those Hutterite people, they're blinded because they want the leadership refused to go on, just like they did back at the turn of the century. These Jewish rabbis, they went around and told them, but see, the majority of these hierarchy Jews, they refuse it, and then they had to go through this Holocaust. And that's going to happen exactly right here, the same thing here, just up the road, maybe even this year yet, when that rapture will come, and they'll be left here, staying here, because they refuse to move on, they refuse to tell people the truth. And here we've been beating the gum for 30 years or more, and trying to wake up a people to come and enjoy this glorious life in Christ. Because after all here, this invitation to the marriage supper, it'll have run its course, and once that rapture happens, and that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb has run its course, you can go read it for yourself, what's going to happen, and Matthew 22, what Jesus is going to do for those people that rejected that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that invitation is right here, what we've been doing for the last number of years. Every day we put it out there, invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is that living water that Revelation talks about. Come and drink out of the waters of life free. Come and partake of it, because after that, once that door is closed, then you're going to have to go to another Holocaust, another tribulation. You're going to get your head chopped off, and your kids, you and your children, you're going to see your children get slaughtered and butchered, just like we seen yesterday in that movie. These people got their own children being shut to death, and took them a lifetime to could get over the horror what they had to go through. Mm-hmm. And here we're just trying to hoard people. We're spending all our effort, all our resource, everything that we ever worked for, everything that we ever done in life is all going into trying to warn people, trying to get this message out here on a day-to-day basis. And we don't mind. In fact, we enjoy it. There's no other joy for us, for you and me, to get up at 5 a.m. and pray in the day and have these sessions and do whatever the Lord tells us to do, because we're about the Father's business. We're just doing that because that's what the Lord has on us out to do, to send out the warning and to tell people what's coming. It's coming as sure as anything, as sure as that flood came back in the days of Noah, and as sure as that Holocaust, because Jeremiah prophesied it thousands of years ago, back in the day, and he said he'll send them the fishers, and then when they're done to bait the fishers, then he'll send them the hunters, and the hunters, they were Hitler's henchmen, where they went to every nook and cranny over in Europe to fish them out, and to hunt them down, and then bring them to those ovens, and to that Holocaust thing there. And here's the same thing. They think they could just reject us and cut us off and terminate us and try to tell people we're losers and all that stuff. But see, they're going to have to suffer the consequence. It's really not our job. Our job is to put it out there. That's what we do the best way we know how. And we're doing everything we know to do. Sure, we mention that. And see, they seem to get ticked off at it because we call them out. We're mentioning them. It's the same thing that Paul did. He mentioned the name and he called out these people that were troublemakers. We call out that Leonard from Delta. We call out that Mike from Summerfell. We call out that Lomagard Jake, how ruthless and brutal these people really are. We call them out by name because we're talking about the spirit that's driving. It's all about the spirit of the thing. The spirit that's driving those people. And we're just doing our job to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Just because they mentioned their name, that doesn't mean that we hate them and all like that. We're just exposing it, how Satan works through these religious leaders, and we have to mention their name. We call them Leonard from Delta. We call them that Eli from Hidden Valley. We call them that Holy Circle, exactly the way it needs to be said. And here it is, closing days of time, because it's sincere as a thing.
And if people are honest with themselves, they really would have to admit that it is right. But because they're so entrenched with their tradition and with their way of life that they refuse to want to see the truth. Mm-hmm. But if they would really be honest with themselves, they would really have to admit it's true. And that's just a simple fact. That's just a fact of the matter and how it is. And God never, ever sends judgment. Not before he first sends warning. And you can walk through all the Word of God, all through the footprints of time, back from the Garden of Eden. God first told them, do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He sent them a sure thing, do not partake of, and they partook of it. And that sent the whole human race into a chaotic state. And then you can see how in the Old Testament, the prophets came to warn the children of Israel, if they do not repent of their ways and change their what they were doing, worshiping idols with their greed and everything, and then if they do not listen, then God is going to send them into dispersion. You can read it over in Leviticus, how there's blessings and cursings if they do not follow his ways. And you can see the same thing here in the Gentile hour. God has had so many warnings for the Gentiles, and it's just ripe for judgment, everything. And you can see all around the world, like the whole world is shaking, like the song says. There's no safe place to stand. Their uncertainty is so great that there is no real safe place to stand. And the only safety is in the Word of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if people have not made that prepare themselves, then they're going to not be found ready when the Lord comes.
But people have to realize that's not you or my program. That's God's program. Mm-hmm. God just found two vessels that were surrendered, and that's all we're doing here. We're just simply putting out the message and a warning for the people to tell them what's coming up the road here. God's going to get the job done one way or another. If you reject it, then he's just going to go down to the highway and the byway people, the nobody of this world, and he's going to say, my tables will be full. Somehow or another, his table will be full. If he can't find his other one doing it, surrendering, then he'll find somebody. Like the Bible says, he went out to the highways and the byways, and he brought them in, and the table, his meal was flourished, and the tables were full. So if you want to think you can get away just rejecting us and chilling out on us, well, that's going to be your demise, not ours. We're just told, just put it out there, and then take it or leave it, just like Jeremiah put it out there. Jonas put it out there. There's 40 days. You got 40 days. Then judgment is coming on this city. God's going to destroy. It's all you have to do. Put it out there. If they accept it, fine. If they reject it, that's going to be their demise. That's all we're doing. We're just sending out the warning what's coming up the road here, because we got the program from the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and then he told us right to the day when all of this is going to take place, and we've just got a few more years left before Satan is no more, and then it's a judgment of the day of the Lord. You could go back in Ezekiel and you can Isaiah and all that, these places, and you can read exactly what the day of the Lord is going to be like. Mm-hmm. Just that simple.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We give you thanks, Lord, for what you've done in the Laodicea church hour to waken up a people, Lord, for your coming, Lord, because we know that you're just and true and faithful, Lord. You never send judgment unless you first send warning, Lord, and you've warned people, you've warned the Gentile hour, Lord, of your coming, and people that have rejected you, Lord, that they're going to have to face judgment, and there is still time for people to repent, Lord, because you're ever merciful, and that you're not willing that any should perish, Lord, that they would all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We know that you have provisions, Lord, in your word. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.